Join us as Pastor Ron Duty teaches us how God uses disaster and calamity to get our attention and to bring us back to Him.
Turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah, and I'd like to read verse 5 through 7 and maybe pick up a couple other verses as we read down through here. Jonah, chapter 1, beginning at verse 5. And there it says, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the side of the ship, and he laid and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. And if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come, and let us cast lot, that we may know for whose cause the evil is upon us. So they cast lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. I often tell you a lot of times that there are certain things that I know that will not happen to me in life. Like, for instance, we think about the way we might die and go out of this world. I can tell you certain ways I'm pretty sure I'm not going out. I won't get swallowed by a big fish, nor will I get eaten by a shark, because I'm one of those guys that I don't care much for water. And if you tell me there's sharks in water, my son took his wife down to Aruba, and I got to tell you a couple little stories. Before we get started, they went to Aruba. And my son says his wife is a mermaid. And they got down there, and they got on this boat. They went out on the waters. And my son kept telling his wife, you can get in the waters down here. Now, even though she's a mermaid and she loves the beach, she will not get in the waters if there's sharks around. So he was trying to convince her to get in the water, and she said, I'm not getting in the water because there's sharks in there. And my son looked at the captain and said to the captain, there's not any sharks in this water, are there? And the captain thought he was joking at this point, and the captain said, no, there's no sharks in the water here. And so she thought the captain knew that there was no sharks in the water, so she agreed to get in the water. At that point, there's no sharks. And so they get in the water, and they play around in the water for however long. Then finally they ended up finishing, and they get back on the boat. They're heading back to shore, and they get to talking about sharks again. And the captain said, were you really serious about no sharks? You believe there was no sharks in this water? And they said, yeah, well, not my son, but his wife said, yeah. I said, you said there was no sharks. He says, why? It's the ocean. There's sharks. And she was upset. You tricked me to getting into the water. And with that story being told, I don't know about you, but being in a boat like this, like in a situation that Jonah was in, I could not picture being in the middle of a storm like this and him being down inside this ship of this boat, being asleep and this thing being tossed back and forth to the point of destruction. They're about ready to die. And these guys were scared. They were fishermen, man. That's what they did. They were on the sea and they were afraid. And they come to Jonah and they said to Jonah, you know, what is it? How come you're asleep? How come you're not praying? You should be out there praying, you know, talking to God about this. We're in a lot of danger here. And I'm thinking, at that point in time, in a ship like that, being tossed back and forth like this, that'd be the first thing I would think to do, man. And I want to talk to God. I want to talk to somebody who's in control of this because I'm in a bad situation. With that being said, I got to tell you another little story. A guy by the name of Mickey one time asked me, he said, Ron, would you like to go fishing with me? And I told him, I said, I would love to go fishing. How many's ever been on Lake Erie? A few of you? There's no sharks in Lake Erie, I don't believe, right? But I was invited to go to Lake Erie to go fishing with him. I'd never been there. I'm from West Virginia. You know, we got creeks and things like that. But we don't have anything like lakes or maybe small ones. But anyhow, he asked me if I'd like to go up on Lake Erie with him to do some fishing. I said, yeah, I'd love to go. I like to fish at that time. And so he said, okay, we set up a date. We will go up there a couple, 2 or 3 weeks in the future. And we're going to go up there and do some fishing. And a buddy of mine by the name of Willie, if I told you this story, hang in there with me. A buddy of mine by the name of Willie came and found me. He said, Ron, I heard you're going up Lake Erie with Mickey to do some fishing. I said, yeah. I said, he's inviting me to go up. We're going to go up, get on a boat, go out and fish a little bit. He said, do you know what kind of boat he has to fish with? I said, no. He said, he just got one of them little aluminum boats. And he said, you're thinking about going up Lake Erie. He said, if I was you, I wouldn't go. I still haven't connected everything, you know what I mean? So he said, well, go talk to Mickey about it. If he's been out on that lake, he knows what it's all about. And so you better talk to him before you go up there. So I went and found Mickey, and I said, hey, Mickey, you know, something about going up to the Lake Erie, you're going out on this lake on this little bitty boat, and Willie told me not to go with you. He said, what's that all about? I said, what's that all about? He said, well, he said, the waves get pretty big up there on that lake. And he said, you probably wouldn't want, it's not going to be an easy little thing to do. He said, matter of fact, he said, I was up there one time. He said, I was so far out on that lake, a storm came up real quick. And I heard that storms come up real quick on Lake Erie. He said, this storm came up real quick. And he said, it took me about 2.5 hours to get back to the shore with that little motor I had on the back of that boat. And I looked at him, I said, I ain't going. I'm not going with you. Now, here's the thing, all right? This is true, I think, is that there's where big fish tails come from, all right? Because if I'd have went with him up to Lake Erie, I'm one of those guys who would come up with this big fish tail. Because if I'd went to Lake Erie with him in this little bitty boat, and he pulled up beside this big lake with this little boat, and he was telling me, I'm going to get in that little boat, and we're going to go out there and do some fishing. I'm telling him, I'm not on. It ain't happening, buddy. I'm not getting on that. And I'm telling you what's going to go. I say, this is what's going to happen now. You are going to take me out to breakfast because I'm not going out there with you on that boat. And then whenever I come back home, my friend would ask me, did you go fishing with Mickey? I'm going to say, yeah, I went fishing with Mickey. But I'm not going to tell him I became a coward while I was up there along the edge of that river or lake. I'm not going to tell him all that. I'm going to tell them what type of fishing trip we were on, about all the big fishes that we caught. So you see where these big tails come from, right? From guys like that. All right. So where are we going here with this morning? Whenever we look at this, that's what's taking place here. We see these men in danger. We see them in a situation that was beyond their control. And they needed help. And folks, let me tell you something. In the world, this is important. In the world that we live in, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. It amazes me to see things that are going on in the world today. Now, I know maybe you might disagree with me on a lot of things, but I got to tell you a little thing I saw the other day on the news about a guy went into a store. He went into a store with a gun. He was going to rob the store of all the whatever the store had. And the guy who owns the store, he takes the gun and pulls it out, defends himself in the store to prevent the robbery from taking place. And at the end of that old broadcast, it said this guy who did the defending of himself, he was in custody. And I had to think about that for a minute. I'm thinking, and what's he doing in custody? You know, I understand a little bit about manslaughter and a few other things, but it seems like the world is just upside down today. And we were talking a little bit in Sunday school class this morning about this, the wars that are taking place throughout the world. And one side is saying, listen, if you begin to beat us here, we'll nuke you. And I've said this many times, in a nuclear war, nobody wins. Nobody wins. We don't win. But you have the leaders of the most powerful nation on the earth today using a language like that saying, well, if we begin to leave, we'll nuke you. It almost thinking that we're headed in a direction. We're in a dangerous situation. Now, there's a long way that I say I might not die, but I can almost see myself in that position of dying like that, the way the world is today. It reminds you of an Old Testament scripture passage that says, woe unto the nation, but I would say it this way, woe unto the nations of the world that says good is evil and evil is good, because we're there. We are so confused. We're in danger. And here, these men realized that they were in danger. Notice what they did in verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So what were the things they were telling him to do in a situation like that? Is the only thing you can do, and that was pray. Pray, pray. I think that's what we definitely need to be doing today, is praying. And a lot of it. Amen. So when we look at this, we see the danger all around Jonah and these men, and we see the danger that in the world today, and the danger reminds us of several things. And let me give you several points here. The first thing that the danger reminds us of, it reminds us of our own powerlessness to do anything about the situation. How many of you have looked at the leaders, and I'm not picking on any particular one, but looked at leaders and think if you were in that position, you would do it differently? You ever think about that? If I would think, well, if how come they don't do it this way? Well, why don't they think about like from this perspective? Well, don't they understand what's going to happen if they do this or if they do that? And so we say, as we look at these situations that's taking place in the world, we find out that there's a lot of danger, but it seems like we're just totally powerless to do anything about it. But that might be true. But I want you to know that one of the greatest power on this earth is God. And that's the power that works through you and me. We can pray. Pray that God intervenes. Pray that God does his work. Pray that God will be done. Pray that he will manifest himself in a way that people will begin to see who he is. And I'm not necessarily saying that it would bring it to a point where it straightened this mess out, but that it would bring it to a point where people would realize that God is real, that his son Jesus died on a cross for their sin, that they can come to know God through a personal relationship with his son Jesus and come to know life everlasting as a result of what's taking place in them. Again, I say this, being from West Virginia, where I'm from, we used to take guns to school. I mean, there were times we could do that, and then we would squirrel hunt going home, or some of the guys, well, I wasn't because I was too young, but they were allowed to take guns to school. I mean, it was a safe environment. But I was watching a newscast the other day talking about this little boy who was 12 years old, who had a 16-year-old come up behind him and shoot him in the back of the head. Just shoot him. A 12-year-old. And sometimes I'm thinking, man, that is a terrible, terrible thing. But if you listen to that news and follow it just a little bit further, you'll find out sometimes that these 12-year-old kids are out on the street at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And my thought is, yes, it's a bad thing for that to happen, but where were the parents in this situation? What were they doing out there at 2 o'clock in the morning? I tell you what, I remember my boy came home. He was about 17 years old. And it was about his curfew. We had curfews. Remember those days when you were young and you had curfews? We had curfews. And our son's curfew, being 17, was about, I don't remember whether it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. It might have been 10 o'clock on school night, 11 o'clock on a weekend, something like that. But anyhow, whatever night it was, he didn't get home on the time he was supposed to get home. And then he come through the door, and we said something like to him, hey, you know, you're a little bit late on that curfew. You know, you're supposed to be home at 10 o'clock. And folks, not harshly, but we're dealing with issues. You know what I'm saying? And so we told him, said, you know, we're going to, you know, we'll ground you for this or for that. He said something or another, kind of, you know, because he's 17, I'm a man. I don't know. Type thing. Yeah. Finally, he said that. Then he said, I think he took a step and listen, we have a good relationship with our children. But he took a step out the back, out the door. He said, he got a little bit upset. He took off running. He ran across the street, and he ran over behind. I watched him. He ran over behind this tree over across the on the corner. I saw him standing behind that tree. All right, so I knew where he was at all the time. And then Karen looked at me. She said, "Aren't you going to go get it?" I said, "Well, had I not known where he went, I might have went looking for him, all right, because he was my boy. But I saw where he was at, and I told Karen, like the man I was, I said, no, I'm not going to get him. I said, he knows where the table's at, and he, when he gets hungry, he'll come home. And so we kind of just stood around there in the living room for a few moments, watching him over by that tree, and sure enough, man, here he came home, you know, and then, just a few minutes. But what I'm saying is this. Is folks, listen. We have responsibilities as parents with our children to make sure that we know what's going on in their lives and that we're there to help them whenever they have needs in their lives, and that we just don't let them run free to do whatever they want to do. And it seems that we live in a time where anything goes. And it amazes me that 12-year-old kids can be out on the street at 2 o'clock in the morning and get killed. Amen. So what does this do? What, when we look around and we see the troubles around us and we see all the dangers that are there, the danger is there to remind us of our own powerlessness. Listen, I have no control over nuclear war. You have no control over nuclear war. With everything that's going on in society today, we seem like we don't have no control for it. We don't have no answers. We scratch our heads and say, what can we do? And it brings us to the point, say, well, the only power I have is the power of prayer. In dangerous situations, it reminds us that we can pray. Amen? The second thing that we see is these guys, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. It reminds us, danger reminds us of the uncertainty of life. Uncertainty of life. I'm sure that 12-year-old child that night that got killed didn't realize that that was the night. Uncertainties of life. Man, I'm making plans, and I know you make plans for this summer. If you don't want to do anything else, I'll invite you down to July the 4th. On the hills down there in West Virginia at our place, and you can come down and put up a tent, or we'll put you up someplace in a little cabin down there, and we just have fireworks down on that hill, and we just have a good time down there during that week. But we're making plans for that. We're making plans to be away for a Sunday and the next couple of Sundays. We're making plans for that. But I want you to know, like Jonah, God has other plans also for life. Life carries with it uncertainty. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You might be home in heaven tomorrow morning if you're a Christian, or you might be separated from God for all eternity if you're not. And that could happen tomorrow. Life, the dangers of life reminds us the uncertainties of human life. If we look at the verse there, so the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleep? Arise, call upon God, if so be that God will think upon us that we might not perish. Think about God. Where's God fit in all this? Here it is, God. Now listen to this, if you would. When we started this a couple weeks ago, we had Jonah. And God just came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I just want you to go out there and tell somebody about me. Go down to Nineveh And listen, as you read this story, and I don't know if we'll get to it or not, but Jonah looked at God and he said, I ain't going. I'm not going to do it. I got another plan. I'm going this way. Instead of going down to Nineveh, I'm going to Joppa. No, he goes down to Joppa and he goes over to Tarsus. He says, God, I'm not going to do it. So he gets on the boat and he takes off going in that direction. Remember the story. And on his way out there, God said, okay, that's your plan, but here's my plan. My plan is I'm going to put you in the belly of a fish for a couple of days. How you like that? The end result was, is Jonah. Now, this is interesting. And the end result is Jonah ends up in this fish's belly. After about 3 days, the fish lets him go. And he goes down to Nineveh, where God tells him to do in the first place. And then later on, if you work your way through Jonah. Now listen, as you work your way through the book of Jonah, you'll find out when you come to the end of the book, Jonah is still complaining that he had to go down to Nineveh to do what God wanted to do. But God got done what he wanted to do, didn't he? And now let me tell you something. There's something that's really interesting if you studied scripture. In Romans 8:28, it says, so all things work to good to those who love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose. Now listen to me. Jonah was called by the Lord to do something, and he was called to go to Nineveh to preach. And Jonah said, I'm not going. I'm going down here this other way. And so he takes off on this boat. And now listen to this, what God does. While he's on this boat with these guys, if you read the rest of this chapter, you'll find out that he witnessed to these guys on that boat, and these guys came to know Jehovah God. So Jonah says, I'm not going on that mission trip. God says, if you ain't going on that mission trip, watch this. I'll send you on a mission trip in this direction. You'll accomplish my will down here. And not only will you accomplish my will down here, but after you get that done, you'll go down there and do what I told you to do in the first place. And that is so unique, isn't it? So you and I, we look at this and we say, well, when we think about the dangers of life and life itself, we think about all the uncertainty of life. But then we look into the Word of God, we find out that God knows it all. And so God knows what's going to take place tomorrow. Amen? Even though you don't. And God knows whether I'll be down on that hill on the 4th of July with the fireworks or not. Amen? So the dangers of life teaches us remind us of how powerless we are and how much we need God. And the danger of life will tell us how the uncertainty life really is and how much we truly need God. Folks, listen. I would not want to leave this world without God. There's a storm. There's a storm going over there. There's a boat over there, and you'll not sleep in it without God. Amen? You don't want to go over there. Listen, God is good, and life is uncertain. But here's one thing I can tell you that I do know. I do know that I don't care what tomorrow may bring forth. I know my God got my eternity planned in his son Jesus. And I'm going to spend eternity in his presence because of the cross of Calvary, because my sins are forgiven, because of Jesus and who he is in our life. And God made his possible for all this. Even with all the storms, we said one time, a couple weeks ago, we said that sometimes when we see God working, it said, notice verse 4 again, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And whenever you look at that word send, and we said this before, it's like God hurls this out there on this ship to get Jonah's attention, but not only get Jonah's attention, but get these men's attention in order that he might do some miracles. Amen. So God sometimes works in harsh ways. And as he's working in harsh ways, we'll always be able to see the grace and mercy of God as God works. Danger reminds us of how powerless we really are. Danger reminds us of the uncertainties of life. And danger will always draw forth. And I don't know if I would call it the confidence of prayer, but how prayer really works. I have seen times whenever the World Trade Center was blown up, remember that? Everybody was talking about praying. The leaders were talking about praying. Churches were basically packed shortly after that. They didn't stay packed very long. But the danger is what it does, it draws forth this ideal to pray, because we know that we need something outside of ourselves to help us, because life's powerlessness and the uncertainty of life. I told you the story that these guys at work, that where I worked at that time, they listed this guy who was on radio. I never could pronounce his name right, but he was a filthy guy. He always told these stories. I can't think of what his name was, but anyhow, he was always on talking about just filthy stuff. And all these guys in the shop listened to him all the time. I'd go through the shop and we'd get talking sometimes. Shouldn't we listen to that guy, man? And I had a guy one time argue with me. He said, you have to admire him. I said, why do you have to admire him? He said, because he's a millionaire. I looked at him, I said, let me tell you something. I'll give you somebody to admire if you want. And I said, that guy's name is Jesus Christ. And he's a millionaire. If you want somebody to admire him. Well, anyhow, and this is at the time the World Trade Center actually began to fall. And they come back there. They knew that I was a Christian guy. So they come back and said, hey, will you go up into this? We got a meeting going on up here. We want you to go up there. Will you pray for it? Come up here and pray for it. I was like Jonah at that point. I ain't going to do it. And I told him no. And I really did. They said, why not? I said, because you are not sincere. I said, you don't mean it. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. No, I won't do it. I won't do it because this is just a spur moment thing that's happening in your life, and you don't really know what it's all about. Let me tell you what it's all about. It's about Jesus. It's about a life-changing impact that he can have upon you. But notice our leaders, every time something bad happens, they tell you to pray. Amen. They do. But they don't mean it. And that's why the world is so messed up. It's because we really don't, and we're not sincere with God. Amen? Let me give you one more thing that danger will do, and I'm closing this, all right? Danger will drive, or should drive, the sinner or us to seek God. That's what it did. Danger drove them to seek the mercy of God. That's what man needs today, God's mercy. I don't need, don't take this wrong. I do not need a new president in that White House. I know that we're messed up. All right, so don't take this wrong. I'm not getting on this political thing. We don't need a new president in the White House. Let me just say to you this. Joe Biden can't solve the problems of this country. He can't problem. Man can't solve the problems of this world. Trump, you can't put him in the White House expecting the problem to be solved. It won't be solved. Man, his problem is that we have turned our back up on God. And we need to turn back to God. God is one that can make a difference in our country, in the world. That's what God's trying to do. He's trying to get our attention, I believe. To all the things that's happening, he's saying, I am still in control. God's in control in the world today. Amen. Stand with me as we close in prayer. Father, this morning we thank you. Thank you for your presence here. Father, we thank you that we live in a country that we live in, that you've given it to us. But Father, we realize we live in a time where it's trying, where we see things taking place in our nation, that we would look and say that the good is bad, bad is good. And then we try to find a solution outside of you, and we can't. It will never be found. The more we push you out, the worse it's going to get. Until one day we are faced with you. And you are coming
Sunday. Whether it be through death, whether it be through, for us as church, Christian people, rapture, whether it be through tribulation, whether it be your presence intervening, coming back to take control, we will face you. I pray, Father, that we, as your people, understand that by your grace, we can come into your presence boldly. But without your grace and without your mercy, it's going to be a fearful day like these men on that boat. I pray, Father, if there's anyone here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, this would be their day. As you sing this song of invitation, just say, yes, Lord, I bow to you. Father, maybe there's other decision needs to be made. With this song, this invitation, we pray that decision be made, your will be accomplished, and we thank you. In the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.